Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Governing to Win, exploring ideas to enhancing national competitiveness. My guest today is Gail Fossler, president of the Gail Fossler Group and contributor to the recent IBM Center book, Governing to Win. You do a wonderful job, if you don't mind me saying, in your piece around connecting the new national competitiveness with global leadership. And I want to switch. Before we get to governance, I want to talk about that a little bit. And you point out that the U.S. remains number one as a likely future global leader. But you do note that the confidence in that has changed over the last few years. Why is that?
And I think because of our inability, that basically the confidence in our ability to sustain our global leadership is tied to the confidence in our ability to identify and tackle the country's most important problems. If I may refer to the survey that we just took for the Business Council in May, It was interesting that although pro-growth policies and the budget were number one and number two, number three and new in the survey was the ability of a president to end the political deadlock and actually create a breakthrough in terms of getting resolution of some of these important issues. So I think that over the last several years, and I really, extends back several years, that the inability to define what these issues are and then to come up, I mean, if we set aside some of the more, well, maybe energy is still controversial, but it seems as if there should be, we should be able to come to terms on a national energy policy. And yet, it keeps getting swept out of the way. It shouldn't be as emotional as taxes or entitlements, and yet we cannot seemingly come up with a national energy policy. So how are we going to deal with some of these tougher problems? And when business looks overseas and they see a country like China, which is very statist in many ways, in the ways in which it makes its decisions, and very dictatorial in the way that they implement those decisions, we see ourselves wasting time, as it were, in the face of a key competitor that is very aggressive about establishing their international economic power and position.
I'd like to switch gears a little bit and focus on Europe and how it ranked. It ranked near the bottom in both competitiveness and leadership. Right. Despite its strong trade performance, why is it seen as neither a competitor nor as a candidate for global leadership, Europe?
Europe is viewed as, and this is all before the crisis, okay? It's all before their current crisis. I mean, we seem to be in a period where we have to identify which crisis we're talking about. But Europe is viewed as a high-cost, slow-moving, highly regulated environment with a relatively weak consumer and investment marketplace. So a lot of American companies have big operations in Europe. A lot of that is legacy from the 70s and the 80s. But these are not viewed as their sources of growth. And so when you look at Europe, and one of the questions we ask has to do with have your business conditions in these different geographies improved or deteriorated in the last 6 months, and what are your expectations for the future? We were already picking up a very low level of economic optimism about Europe well before the current crisis.
So, Gail, would you define for us the term governance? What is governance?
Governance is basically the explicit and implicit rules that guide your behavior. Now, I'm using, I'm sure, a different definition, but I think it's important to recognize that the most pervasive form of governance is self-governance. Mm-hmm. We used to shoot people on the street. We don't do that anymore. I'm going to go home in the metro, at least I hope we don't. But when we think of what government did, okay, government actually, through the enforcement, and this has always been a struggle in various neighborhoods and life, government imposed certain explicit constraints, which then became manifest in behavior that reduces the need for what you might call explicit governance in that vein. So governance is the process by which we establish goals, by which we vet options, by which we choose and innovate, experiment with respect to options, public options. I'll use this now in the public context. And then we look for innovative ways in order to implement programs, approaches, regulations, et cetera, that achieve those goals in the public domain.
That's interesting because you've alluded to some of the challenges, but I'd like to talk more and maybe delve into some of the more core challenges around governance that we're facing today.
Let me respond to that question at two different levels. Okay. One is that I think our key governance challenge is that we need one.
Interesting.
I mean, we need a governance structure. The level of complexity of many of our programs and our and the complexity of our government. I talk frequently with some of my former colleagues and peers, and we have government systems which even the people who are part of them are sometimes at a loss to explain in terms of their complexity. So we do need to have a process. We need to identify what are the challenges that Americans are facing today and where are their private solutions, where are their public solutions, okay? Now, what are some of those challenges? That's the second approach to that. You know, our first challenge really is economic growth. I'm sort of fascinated by the focus in the political debate on jobs, as I'm a believer that jobs follow growth and that the key that we need with respect to growth is some kind of a plan that allows people to see. We're essentially driving in a fog without a GPS system at the moment, allows individual businesses, and I am actually an individual business owner, to be able to see what the next 3 or 4 years looks like and how they might invest in order to capture that opportunity. And you can't do that when every major aspect of government is up for grabs. You can't do that when you don't know what the tax rates are. You can't do that when you don't know what the health care costs are going to be. You can't do that if you don't know what kinds of 401ks and retirement options you're going to return to people. You can't do that if you can't get the roads paved. I mean, there's a lot of these different, I'll call economic growth deterrents. Second, probably, and they really align with the Business Council survey. The second is education and how we can innovate. And kids are crying out for this. I mean, literally, one of the great references that I heard in a speech was that, you know, the speaker said, my grandfather, who died 50 years ago, could come back to Earth and the only thing he'd recognize is the inside of a classroom. Is there any other aspect of our lives that we would say that about? And the answer is no. So we need to innovate around education and we need to address the healthcare, not just in terms of cost, but in terms of access.
Gail, we painted a picture, an interesting picture, around U.S. competitiveness. To what extent is it more of a call to action as opposed to a call to despair?
It's absolutely a call to action. We used to have a way in our own unique American messiness of identifying goals, of looking at a couple of clear alternatives, voting in the voting box for one or another of those alternatives, and then making adjustments. I mean, the adjustments that we made in 82, 84, and 86, which was tax reform, were basically adjustments where the American people said the deficits are too large. Mm-hmm. So there was a clear message from the public, and there were clear actions on the part of the administration and the government. So we've done this in the past. In some ways, this is an elaboration of what we already know how to do. But at the moment, we seem to have a collective amnesia about really how we did this in the past.
Gail, I want to thank you for your time today. It's great having you.
Very insightful. Well, this is great fun. These are important issues. And I just think it's terrific that you all and our friends at IBM, you know, took the time and the effort to try and put these different ideas together.
My guests today have been Larry Haas, contributor to the IBM Center book Governing to Win, and author of the recently released book Sound the Trumpets, and Gail Fossler, president of the Gail Fossler Group and contributor to the IBM Center book Governing to Win, Enhancing National Competitiveness Through New Policy and Operating Approaches. This book is available at bookstores, online booksellers, and from the publisher at romanlittlefield.com. This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Governing to Win, Exploring Ideas to Enhancing National Competitiveness. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.